By gaining in principle support for net zero targets, Scott Morrison has succeeded where a conga line of prime ministers has failed. But it hasn't ended the bitter dispute over climate policy within his government, nor has it satisfied those calling for much stronger action by 2030. And as we've mentioned, we still don't know the detail of how the government plans to achieve its goals. David Lipson looks at the early reaction to the agreement.
It's an historic commitment on climate, a seismic shift for the coalition government. And for farmers like Charlie Prell, it brings some qualified satisfaction.
There is a bit of relief, but it's relief at the political conundrum, not at the reality of where we need to be in relation to carbon reduction.
A sheep farmer from Crookwell in New South Wales, he's the chair of Farmers for Climate Action and wanted to see much stronger 2030 targets. He's pleased at reports the Nationals have extracted safeguards and investment for regional Australia, but questions the logic.
I do welcome that. But I think it's unnecessary. The benefit of acting on climate will mostly flow to the regions of Australia through sequestering carbon in soil and trees, through paying farmers to be good landscape managers, through biodiversity payments, and through hosting renewable energy.
Not everyone in regional Australia sees those potential benefits.
I think this remains a bad deal for this country.
Perhaps the government's strongest opponent of net zero, Queensland Senator Matt Canavan, was back on breakfast television fighting against the deal his party just made.
I think net zero is going to end in tears. It is going to end in higher power prices, fewer jobs for Australians, and just make us weaker at a time where China is being pretty aggressive in our region. So, look, I'll keep up the fight.
The Deputy Nationals leader is David Littleproud.
Matt obviously has a differing view to that of the rest of the party room, and we respect that. That's not something that we denigrate in the National Party. I think in Canberra you want that. You want that diversity of ideas and for them to be prosecuted.
John Connor is CEO of the Carbon Market Institute.
Well, it is significant. Net zero is significant. It makes material investment decisions for infrastructure and the like that will last till 2050. It's important because it takes a lot of the wriggle word and weasel words out of low carbon and other things, which encourage still coal-fired power stations that might have been lower emission. Those things are now history. But it's very disappointing that we're not taking strengthened 2030 targets because they matter.
There are reports that the government will update its projection for 2030, but they're not taking a target, we understand. What's the difference there? Is that significant?
Well, it's an indication, an intention, an aspiration. These aren't things that actually are the currency of the international negotiations. The currency there are the nationally determined contributions, and we're still stuck with Tony Abbott's from 2015 with targets. We now know we're going to blow past. We know that even without that state action will be delivering us significantly more. And not taking that harder currency into those talks means that we are handicapping our negotiators and their mandate for what this government considers it the national interest as well, because we'll be lacking credibility in that regard.
So how will this be received in Glasgow?
Look, I think there'll be some welcoming of the net zero target by 2050, but we will join many of our trading partners. But many of our trading partners have tightened 2030 targets, and many of these our Pacific and other neighbours are calling for much stronger action because the path that we take to net zero matters. The carbon that we emit along the way matters, and the way we work with other countries matters.
That's John Connor, the head of the Carbon Market Institute, and he was speaking there with David Lipson.